I've been a paramedic in the UK for a little while. I qualified all shiny and new back in 2019. Got hired by an NHS trust and got stuck into the business of scraping drunks off pavements and grannies off bathroom floors. I know I sound bitter, but I enjoy my work, really. I like being outdoors and keeping busy. Before starting university, I worked in a call center for a mobile phone provider. And it was awful, and I spent every morning summoning the will to refrain from wrapping my car around a tree. Being part of the emergency services is perfect for me. I'm always busy, and I'm lucky to have found a career that suits me. And despite my whining, I wake up for most shifts excited about the day ahead. Something weird has been going on lately, though, and it's starting to freak me out. Death is a reality of this job, but generally speaking, the presentation of the patient matches the scenario they find themselves in. There's a logical chain of events that one can follow, from cause to effect. Person drives car, car hits tree. Person hits car interior, dramatic injury. Person dies. That sort of thing. Those were certainly alarming at first, but they aren't what's keeping me up at night. People have been dying in ways that make absolutely no sense. I don't mean stupid Darwin Award type deaths, and not regular, suspicious or unexplained deaths either. I'm talking about deaths where the patient's injuries, obviously and inexplicably, do not match their surroundings or circumstances. The first time I came across this phenomena, I didn't even clock that all this had started. We were called to a cardiac arrest in some nearby woodlands. A dog walker had discovered a body lying face down in the woods. We rolled up and followed the path to where the patient was, only to find a kind woman performing chest compressions on a prone form, about 15 meters off the path. He was in his early 50s, tall with graying hair, dressed in waterproof yellow overalls and a blue shirt, showing obvious signs of having been dead for hours. Seemed fairly cut and dry to me at first. I did some quick observations, established that the man was dead and dead, a technical term, and began to key the radio to stand the backup crew down, when I noticed that his clothes were inexplicably sodden. I mumbled something to control about this being a rule and to get police on the scene before kneeling back down to examine him more closely. He had bloodshot eyes and wrinkled fingers, and his throat was filled with pink foam, something that usually comes about from fluid in the lungs, mixing with air as the person struggles to breathe. Often associated with severe chest infections and drowning. This was definitely fishy. It hadn't rained for days. There was no stream or river for miles, yet this chap was soaking wet and displaying signs more commonly associated with fluid aspirations than a sudden cardiac arrest while out for a stroll. I was glad to have the police on the way and shared my suspicions with my partner that he had drowned elsewhere and been moved here. To cut a long story short, the police were unable to find anything of significance beyond what we had been able to surmise. There was a murder investigation and an autopsy. I was called to the coroner's court to make a statement. But as far as I'm aware, they weren't even able to identify him. And nothing of any forensic value was found. No DNA, no footprints, no evidence of forced immersion. The only additional detail that I found out later was that the water in his clothes and lungs was seawater, making the whole thing even stranger. The place he was found was almost 40 kilometers from the coast. The second time it happened was every bit as weird. We were alerted by control that there had been an RTC on a winding road. One motorcycle, no known casualties, but the biker had not yet been found. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it is just the sort of crap information we're used to getting when we're dispatched to jobs. Besides, it was dark and rainy. They might have been in a hedge or under a car or flopped next to the curb further down the road and haven't been spotted yet. It happens. On arrival, we're met by an empty police car and illuminated by the flashing blue lights. Quite a nice motorbike lying on its side, steaming softly as the rain fell on the hot engine. I grabbed a torch from my jacket from the cab and set off down the road in the direction the bike had been traveling. The beam of light tracing the sides of the road as I looked for any sign of the missing biker. No luck. All I found was a cop doing the same thing as me, fruitlessly sweeping the surroundings with a torch. Acutely aware that time was probably of the essence, I suggested we get the police helicopter overhead to use its thermal camera while we continued to look. In 10 minutes, and another 3 patrol cars later, we received word that the biker had been found 200 meters up the road, but in the other direction. Somehow the force of the impact had flung this person the length of 2 football fields in the opposite direction that their momentum should have carried them. I was perplexed, and given the circumstances, I'd have been lying if I said I was optimistic about their outcome. But we updated control, asked for backup, and for the air ambulance to be put on standby due to the rapidly increasing likelihood of major trauma. Moved the ambulance to the biker's location and got to work. Immediately, several things stood out to me as being wrong. The biker, a young woman in her 30s, was sat upright at the foot of a tree, curled into the fetal position. There were no obvious injuries. Her fancy Italian leathers were unblemished. No deformity to her limbs. No bleeding. Nothing. It was as if she hopped off her bike for a snooze under a tree. Only she hadn't woken up. She was cold and stiff, which by itself would have been strange, since she couldn't have died more than half an hour ago at most. But she was freezing cold. And as I attempted to open an eyelid, a raindrop fell from her visor onto her cheek and rolled down her face, freezing before it made it to her chin. I undid the zip in her throat slightly to feel for a pulse, and the skin was white and waxen, indicative of the body cutting off blood supply to the skin in the later stages of hypothermia. There was no pulse. We transported her to a hospital anyway, because in some rare cases, people can survive extreme cold if they receive emergency treatment quickly. But not this time. The UK occasionally sees cold snaps that could be dangerous for those without warm clothing. But usually in January or February, not during the spring. How had this poor woman frozen to death in England in April? Nobody ever got to the bottom of this death either. There was a question of her having been there longer than we thought. But the bike was still hot when we arrived. And she was colder than the environment around her. That can't happen by itself. And then, yesterday afternoon, the most bizarre one of all. The job came through as a cardiac arrest with significant facial injuries in a flat not far from the city center. Again, nothing too remarkable immediately, and the only conversation it elicited was some grumbling about stairs from my crewmate. The apartment was quite nice, modern, spacious, and a cleaner who, bless her, could barely speak from shock, took us through to a bedroom where a man lay spread eagle face down on the bed. I turned him over to begin to assess his airway. But to put it bluntly, this gentleman was fucked. Massive facial trauma with a huge skull fracture, crushed ribs, shattered pelvis, numerous fractures of various limbs, and CSF leaking out of his ears and nose. Not a great start, but he wasn't actually in arrest, as we'd been told. I could see and hear him making a weak respiratory effort, struggling to breathe against the horrendous injuries in his chest. But this man had minutes to live. We did our best, begging control for backup, while desperately trying to patch up some of the damage, enough to get him to the hospital. He arrested in the ambulance, not far from the major trauma center. And that was that. On the way home that evening, I couldn't put the whole thing from my mind. never had a problem switching off after leaving work. But I couldn't shake the thought that I'd seen those injuries before. They were consistent with a fall from a great height. The sort of injuries you'd get from climbing accidents or jumping off a bridge. But he was in a one-story flat. So what the fuck? I didn't sleep at all last night. I've spotted the pattern now. But I feel like I'm building a jigsaw with half the pieces missing. I'll ask a few of my colleagues if they've ever seen anything like this when I'm in next. But other than that, I don't know where to start. Something is going on. Something I can't explain. I'm posting here in the vain hope that someone here might know something. Because I'm lost. And this is becoming all I can think about.